Thank you, Prem and Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And welcome to this last leg of Thursday live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai. And Prashantinilayam is now just waiting for the big festival of Guru Purnima, which is around the corner. In fact, even though Guru Purnima Day actually is on July 22nd, you will be surprised to know that the Guru Purnima celebrations in Prashantinilayam start on July 14th itself. That is the coming Sunday, even though Guru Purnima is on the next Monday. So on July 14th, there is going to be a drama by the students of Bhagwan's University. And then from July 18th onwards, every single day there is a program in Sai Kulwant Hall. If it is a musical performance by Sai Youth from Goa on July 18th, then on 19th it is by the children from Mumbai. On 20th, there is a unique presentation signifying the confluence of science and spirituality through music by Mr. Ganesh Atre and his team. On July 21st, there are two talks by Sai students and Sai youth, followed by songs by Baba's Nursing College students. And on July 22nd, the big day, the day of Guru Purnima, that day is packed with many presentations. The highlights are going to be talk by Dr. Shrikant Sola from Baba's Hospital in Bangalore and by Dr. Dalton D'Souza Amorim from South America. And in the afternoon, there are three short talks by Sai youth from different states of India. And of course, devotees will be blessed to watch Bhagwan's discourse on that evening for 20 minutes, followed by a music program by Mrs. Soumya Srinivasan. And interestingly, the celebrations do not end on July 22nd. It goes on for almost another one whole week. Yes, on July 23rd, the day after Guru Purnima, there is a Mexican choir performance. On 24th, songs by Glendale Arcadia Sai Center from Southern California, USA. On 27th, by devotees from Poland. On 28th, by Baba students from the Music College. On 30th, by devotees from the Middle East countries. And on 1st August, by Sai devotees from United Kingdom. So that is how elaborate is the program schedule for this year's Guru Purnima celebrations. In fact, you can see this entire list on our website, radiosai.org. No wonder this Guru Purnima celebrations is so elaborate. Indeed, that is how it has been all these years. This is the first major program for this academic year. And with this, actually, the Prashantinilayam festival calendar begins. And we look at it this way because students are so much part of every celebration in Prashantinilayam. And so the first major festival for them is literally the first major festival for Prashantinilayam. And when you come to think of it, it was on a Guru Purnima day that Bhagwan chose to formally unfurl this most amazing trailblazing mission of his, the Sri Sathya Sai Education Mission. And this happened nearly 4.5 decades ago. Baba had just landed in Mumbai after his 14-day East Africa trip, and he was now in a great hurry to visit Anantapur en route to Bangalore. It was June 1968. He spent some time in Anantapur on that occasion and then returned. And just after a month, he came back to Anantapur. And he was now there in this city to inaugurate the College for Women in the city of Anantapur, the Anantapur campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. The university had not yet come up by then, but the first campus of the university was this women's campus, and this happened in July 1968. And in fact, what Bhagwan said on that occasion actually set the pace for the Sathya Sai Education Mission. He said, "The prompting behind this college is not the search for reputation or the desire to propagate a cult or the hope of monetary profit. In fact, today if you look at the mushrooming of colleges, they are all there, it seems like, only for these purposes, either to propagate a cult, as Baba says. They all want to indoctrinate young minds with a idea, or they are here, as Baba says, for monetary profit. They want to make moolah by selling education, as today that is considered as one of the most profitable businesses. So that is what Baba said. The prompting behind this college is not the search for reputation or the desire to propagate a cult or the hope of monetary profit. Baba continued and he added, fame is a fickle figment. Reputation rots quite soon. Profit, when it is calculated in terms of cash, defiles. And then Baba revealed, I have allowed this college to rise because it will install in the minds of the students the ideals of truth, righteousness, peace and love. The ideals which are delineated in the Vedas, which are described in our ancient scriptures, which are illustrated in our epics and which are practiced by countless generations and confirmed through experience. And what is that confirmation? The confirmation is that these are best suited for individual and social progress. And then on that day, Baba declared, every child born has the right to know and benefit from this spiritual precious heritage. Just like agriculture is needed for a living, Atma culture is most needed for success in life. So that is the key, Atma culture, and that is what the Sri Satya Sai educational institutions have as their goal. And Baba so clearly laid it down way back in July 1968. In fact, 3 years after this, Swami was in the city of Anandpur once again, and now he was presiding over the inauguration of this college's magnificent new building. And that was the chosen Guru Purnima day. And in the presence of the then President of India, what Baba said on that occasion was as prophetic as it was profound. Swami asserted, I quote, India is being forged into a Bhogabhumi, a land of luxury, a land of skyscrapers, tinned food, air conditioning and television. Indians are being shaped into an imitative, insurgent, indisciplined mass. They are being transplanted on other soils and encouraged to grow without roots. After lamenting the plight of this land, this sacred land, Baba then declared, this is the reason I have decided that this college has to be inaugurated on Guru Purnima Day. On a Guruvar, on a Thursday, this is going to be a Gurukula, the hermitage school, like how it used to be in the ancient times when the highest ideals of life were instilled by personal example and guidance by the Guru to the pupils who were eager to imbibe. So it is as clear as it can be. Baba started his education mission on a Guru Purnima day because he wanted his educational institutions to be modern Gurukulas. And that is what it has indeed turned out to be. And it is only because these institutions have such an environment that the students groomed in this ambience turn out to be different and so unique. So what exactly we mean by a Gurukula environment, and how do we create such an environment in today's times? How did Baba design such a system in the modern times, and how has it been sustained for all these years? What sort of an impact it has had on the students? Can this be replicated elsewhere? And is it still the same now, even after Baba's Mahasamadhi? Well, these are some of the questions I thought it would be interesting to answer and to deliberate upon. And that is why I requested four teachers of Baba Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School in Prashant Nilayam to come over to the studio and share their impressions on these aspects, because they have lived, worked and continuously improved this environment by Bhagwan's grace over this last three decades. I had this panel discussion with them on July 1st, 2013 and it was a 2-hour long session, and last week on this hour I played for you the first half of this discussion, and now we will listen to them once again for the next 60 minutes or so. I'm going to play for you the second part of this discussion, but before we proceed, let us just pause and let us offer our loving and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of the one whose compassion on us can never ever be fathomed, the supreme teacher who is ever ready and ever exerting himself to teach us, to train us and to take us on the right path. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we live up to your expectations. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome dear listeners to this yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 8:55 and today we have, as I mentioned, the second part of the panel discussion, the tailor-made Gurukula for the modern times, the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School. And the four teachers who participate in this discussion are Mr. Ram Mohan Rao, Mr. Venkateshwarlu, both of whom have been living with the boys in the hostel right from the time of inception of the school. And the two other teachers are Dr. Sailesh Srivastava and Mr. Satish Babu, both former students of Baba's University, who were blessed with the opportunity to stay back in Prashant Nilayam and serve in his institutions. So here is the second part of this discussion with the teachers of Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School on how the Sai Hostel in Prashant Nilayam is so much like a Gurukula of yore. Here it is.
One instance narrated by one student who has joined now the Bhakti Sai Division after completing his post-graduation MBA, who came and who are constantly worried about his sickness than their own examination. He said that is one moment that he can never ever forget. And for him, we are asking, what is the most indelible moment for you in the hostel? He said, this is what always stands out. I can't imagine anywhere else. It's my seniors coming and trying to look after me.
Mr. Prasheen, and boys carry these impressions throughout their life. And myself in witness to these feelings of the boys. When I was a teacher in 1918, I had one student and I talked to him personally. I gave my love and affection to him. I got him enrolled in the drama and he performed in front of Bhagwan also. After 20 years, he wrote me a letter remembering what Bhagwan had done to him and how he had played in the drama and all that. Recently, 3 months back, but I did not respond to the boy. 30 years passed. He was a student in 1918. Now it is 2013. 3 months back he wrote a letter to me, remembering those grand old days. He is a lecturer now. And that is education for life.
Amazing. Definitely.
They lost throughout one's life.
Yes.
And they inspire them. And they inspire us also. Yes. When our boys remember that whatever good we have done, it has borne fruit.
Yes.
That's really a great consolation to us and motive force to us. That's what Bhagwan does.
I think talking of love, concern and all these qualities, it's also important to remember that when you practically deal with situations, we never hesitate to use various modes of punishments also when required.
When required.
I mean, people should not misunderstand that when you want to, you know, make a child develop or mold a child, only love and care is important and necessary. When Swami says, Deva Preeti, I mean, Papa Bhiti. Yes. So there is another aspect where one has to make them aware of what they should not do, or that if one does the wrong thing, you know, its consequence will not be good. So on one side when one shows love and concern, the other side when there is any kind of an indiscipline, which can happen at that age,
yes,
one has to tackle it strictly.
So
and make them
there
aware.
Is an element of fear also which gets...
Yeah, so it is not fear of the teacher or fear of God. As Swami says, it is papa bhiti. So it is fear of doing that act which they know fundamentally is not really nice. So once they realize that, that comes by talking to them or giving them varieties of ways to improve upon...
Have you experienced any situation where, you know, you have to use this approach to sort of bring any transformation in any student?
Yes, there have been cases. I remember once I had to slap students, which is a kind of unorthodox, you would say,
yes,
in some situations which you don't do. But I had to do it at a particular point of time. But the important thing is that it's not the slap which is important. What is important is that you call the boy later on and make him understand why you did that and why you are doing it out of concern and love, even as a parent would, you know, sometimes show you the cane. So I know the student who was, I didn't know him that well also, but it was an indiscipline where a junior student seemed to, you know, do something to this senior, talk back and kind of use his hands, which is kind of unbecoming of a student. But the moment such a thing happened, I had to, in public only, just give a slap to him. And then later on I called him, talked to him, and that boy became one of the very, very cultured and disciplined students as he grew up. And today he's a, you know, he has finished his biotechnology course post-graduation and is doing very well in life and has become very responsible. And I know that even after this incident, he had a lot of respect. The fear that if I use the cane, maybe I will lose the respect from the student, that's a wrong fear. It's an illusion to those who cannot love. But if we can love the student even while we are punishing, then the student will not feel it. And we know that our students realize that we are doing it out of love and concern. And these are situations and occurrences which are, I should say, rare.
Yes.
But I should say that even these things are required once in a while.
Yes. I think probably, when you said, you probably also will have instances where you had to sometimes take some tough decisions and at the cost of becoming unpopular.
Let us be very clear about, we are all human beings.
Yes.
And those who are studying here are also students. So they do every kind of mistake which a student outside does.
Yes.
And I don't even call it a mistake. I say that Swami makes sure that all your weaknesses, they come to the surface. And once they come to the surface, you realize that you have got this weakness or this bad quality. And when you are corrected, you make effort to improve upon. Sometimes, little bit of punishment out of, as the brother has mentioned, that he develops that fear of sin and he stops indulging in the same kind of activities. Otherwise, as the time passes, when he finds that he is not able to overcome his weakness or any bad quality, he starts praying to Swami and praying to God. The moment that happens, God responds. And he finds it so easy to overcome the weakness which he felt that he will never be able to overcome. And this applies to young and old in same manner. That first we need to know what are our weaknesses, then we should work on it, and when we are not able to overcome that, we should pray sincerely to God, and He basically has come down not to give gifts but to make us a better human being.
Yes, and can you really think about any particular student where you saw this transformation?
There are several, there's not one or two. There are not one or two, so many students, because this is a very common thing.
Yes.
Boys, they keep doing
mistakes. Everybody comes with imperfections and
yes,
imperfections
yes.
reduce.
Not just students, even we come with imperfections.
Everyone, yes.
Yes.
Yes. And I think because, as Salil sir mentioned, because it comes from a space of genuine love, they don't really mistake you so much.
They never mistake.
That was really... Mr. Pushti, imagine. I use the word imaging. I encountered such an experience in the early years of my teaching here. The Woody school was wound up and the Woody boy joined our higher secondary school.
Yes,
here.
Tommy had a school in Woody,
yes,
which closed down sometime in 85-86.
Yes, yes. I kept one of the boys as the monitor and there was a case of theft. I wondered who did it. I searched, I couldn't find it. Somehow it occurred to me, the money was away hidden in the shoes. I picked up the money, but I told them, you see, boys commit mistakes. But if you repent and then confess, you will not repeat that mistake. And that's what Bhagavan loves and likes. That night, I had a bang on my door at about 11 o'clock. And when I opened, I saw the lady of the room. And then confessing to me with a trembling voice, "Sir, I have done it. But I promise you, sir, I will not repeat it." And he became the best monitor, mind you. And he became a form boy of Bhagavan. Rose high in
life. Attention.
Yes. So the confidence which he infused, there's basic goodness in all the boys, and that works wonders.
This is very true. And the discrimination of what kind of method to use in a particular case is where our own spiritual progress,
yes,
becomes important, and that we have to pray to Swami to make us do the right thing at the right,
yes,
time. If our intention is good, and then automatically if we pray to Swami, Swami helps. So there are times where for... very severe mistakes also we may forgive and not make it public to anybody else and just make the boy promise not to repeat a mistake, and the boys really transform and this can be seen. So there are situations where we lovingly forgive without really making it known to others and then take a promise from a student that,
yes,
he would never repeat it again, and they actually improve. And the other side is also there, where we need to,
yes,
sometimes in some cases punish, and there he improves.
And they say you should praise in public and reprimand in private.
Yes, so both things are true. So
yes,
that discrimination in which situation, which has to be used.
Because I think all students, as we are discussing, they come from different backgrounds, and I think everyone will have definitely many things to sort of refine in their personalities, and everybody is on that path. And I think working in different departments with so many other boys in the hostel, I think that is something which also helps them. You know, when you live in a room where there are 13, 14 boys, in contrast with, you know, you're living alone in one room in your home, or, you know, or living with one or two boys, I think that is something which also helps to iron out different, the sharp edges of their personalities. If you can share how this really has helped certain boys to overcome some of their weaknesses, living with so many boys in the group, as a group, in one room.
I can recollect one interesting thing that has happened to a boy. One of the students, Mr. Amar Singh, in fact, you might be knowing, he's doing very well in the States, United States,
yes,
now. And he went and did his... MBA in a very famous university in USA, and then he was just the best all-round student of the year. And then when he had come here, he had been a student of our school also, and even at the university, and he was looking back and trying to understand as to what made him get this achievement in life. And then one of the things that he told was that the life in our education system was such that we have mingled with all cultures, people from all kinds of backgrounds, and mixing with others was a very natural quality for a Sai student. And when he was in USA, there were, you know, the Chinese groups, the American group, or varieties of groups. People seemed to be isolated and in their own pockets, whereas this boy was able to mix with all the students, international students, and this made him different from all the others. And he said that he attributed this to his stay in Swami's institutions. And this is something which is natural, because as you said, from the very day one, you stay in a room with 14 students. Somebody is from, we have the famous news, we say north, east, west and south. In each room, you may have a boy from the north, from the east, and sometimes children who have come from other countries.
Other countries, other religions also.
Other religions, yes, Muslims. And if a Muslim boy is there, the others kind of appreciate and understand his ways, help him during the month of Ramzan so that he can follow his routine. So these kind of things, tolerance for others' cultures and being able to mingle with everybody else, this is something which is kind of natural to our students in Swami's institutions.
Maybe Satish Babu sir will have instances where you have seen how boys really develop this attitude of brotherhood just by living with each other. And you know how they go out of the way to sort of ensure that the other person is made comfortable, especially as you were mentioning earlier in during examination times, where you will find boys who would go out of the way to help them in their exams. And also you have senior students trying to help the juniors in their academics, you mentioned.
Look, this is a day-to-day activity. For example, because you talked of Satish Babu sir and sickness, when a student falls sick, the other roommates, you know, take his plate and wash it. And we tend to, you know, we inspire the students to do that so that the boy who is sick feels that he is cared for. Now, if he vomits or if any such thing happens, the others are ready to clean it. So these are things which are not common, I should say, outside. When they are in a dining session, they see their own seniors, the teachers, very elder teachers, cleaning with their own hands, you know, the floor if it, somebody spills something. And once they show that, you know, that becomes an example for the others. So this starts getting into every student. And I have seen this especially in the dining sessions, where on the first day, and if somebody spills something and he feels afraid as to what the teacher may say, and then you just gently go and clean it off, and they feel inspired. And then next time when something falls, you find one or two students running to do it on their own. So this kind of a thing, as sir said, no, when he serves the sick boys, automatically the others see it and that infects them.
Yes. It's a positive infection.
The beauty of this such an education system is it imparts great values to them and it enables them to face the challenges of life. The three great modern challenges are management of time, management of crisis and management of people.
Crisis
and our boys cultivate these qualities when they're students. So much so, in later life, they become a tremendous success. For example, the boys have a very tight schedule designed by Bhagawan from morning to night, and the boys cope with that. They learn how to manage their time, which is very important in their later life,
yes,
the education for life.
Yes.
Secondly, management of people. When a student has to stay with six boys, yes, and the two in love and harmony, it enables him to face people when he has to live with the others. And management of crisis. Usually, sportsman time is a time of crisis. When I have to do so many things.
Plenty of items to prepare.
Plenty of items to
prepare.
Yes. And this education helps him in later life also.
Yes.
So, it's not only education, it's not education for time being, it's education for life itself. And therein lies the beauty of such an education system, is education for,
yes,
life.
All the qualities that sort of get inculcated. These things, you don't really tell them that, you know, this is time management, this is crisis management. Just that as they live in the system.
Talking of crisis management, it reminds me which a thing which happens every once in a while during Ganesh Chaturthi. We prepare very huge chariots to be taken to the mandir in a procession, and then that work gets over only on the previous night. Almost the entire night, yes, the students work to finish that work, and it comes around the rainy season, and very often on the night before it or the one night before that, it starts raining. And there have been times where we were unprepared for that rain, and then students had been working and they had painted and done a lot of things, and then suddenly it, you know, the sky was overcast and then the rain started, so we had to make emergency arrangements. You should see how the boys respond to such things, and we tell them at that time, you know, this was real crisis management. They take, you know, big sheets of, we have these plastic huge Rexine sheets, and then boys were braving out in the cold, dark, you know, night. It's raining on top of them. They are getting fully wet, but there are some 6-7 boys catching this Rexine right on top so that the chariot and the work below will not get affected. Right. And like that, other boys are doing work underneath, and that's, if you, it's only to be seen, to be believed, to be experienced, to understand what it exactly is, where, you know, time is running out, and, you know, if the water falls on it, all the work is wasted, and then everybody is there, they don't care, they know that they are going to get wet, but they brave it out. So many such things which are natural,
I mean,
to them.
One thing is crisis, and also secondly, the presence of mind.
Presence of mind, crisis, the sense of belonging, that it is, you know, my item, our hostel, we have to do it well. I'm doing it for all the others' sake. You know, see at such times, you know, boys, taking those boys who are working, you know, in emergencies late, and the others take food. Very often you'll see Venkateshwala sir, you know, preparing late at night, you know, going and boiling coffee and milk and then giving and serving to the boys. So boys see that also, how the teachers are concerned. Then senior boys, I will say, catch that nice infection. They go around and do the same thing.
Wonderful. We are most thankful to Bhagavan for making us participants in his mission divine. In preparing a generation of boys,
yes,
IDEA students who will work out his mission.
Yes, his mission. Siddhish Babu said you are saying something.
I wonder how children are exposed to so many great things which would help them in their future life. I'll give one or two instances how they are molded by Bhagavan's love. Any batch of the students, we would see few individuals will be doing much better than others in academics. They excel in it. So what we would advise them is, I would call some 2-3 students of that nature. I would tell them, service to Swami may not be only serving in the dining hall or serving the patients. If you could help a weak student in academics, and if that student becomes better and gets better marks, his parents will be happy. If his parents are happy, Swami will be happy. That's your offering to Swami. So why don't you do one thing? If suppose your exam is there on such and such date, you would normally prepare till the morning of that day of exam, and you will do well in exam. But why don't you plan ahead in such a way that you would finish the preparation at least 1 or 2 days early, and then you are all the time free to help your friends who are requiring any kind of help in academics. I have seen, I have told some of the boys, they have taken to their heart so seriously, they have finished all the preparation for examination one day before. 24 hours before they have finished, when, you know, the students will be preparing till the last moment for the exams. And they would come to me and tell me, sir, I have finished my preparation, I am ready to help anybody.
Wow.
So it happened like that. Just to see how many boys he would help, I announced to all students, see, so and so boys have finished their preparation already. Now they are all the time sitting in the central lobby, waiting for your request. Anytime you can come and seek their help. And I told these students, just note down how many times you are helping each other, so that we'll know how many ways you could help others. And a boy came with a list of questions and number of times he had helped others 180 times.
Wow.
That's amazing.
To see how children of
180 times he has helped other boys.
With patience. With so much love. He is happy that he could be of some use to others in making others better in service. What a great virtue that Bhagavan drills into their heart from tender age. So they learn such things at this, in this place. For example, another student had finished his studies here and he had gone out to continue his studies in an engineering college. And after one such examinations in that place, the professors were giving the answer sheets and many of the students were standing in a line, in a queue, to approach the concerned professor and tell them, "Sir, I would get one more mark in this question. I may get another half mark." So they were all waiting in a big queue, long queue, to ask the professor to increase their marks. Two of the professors were dealing with the subject, they were sitting, and all the students were standing in the line to get little more marks, better marks. And one of our students who studied here, later on he was doing engineering there, he was also standing in the line. His turn came, and the professors asked, "Yes, where do you require marks and what happened?" And the student told, "Sir, I don't require any marks, but there is a calculation mistake in this paper. By mistake, I had been given 3 marks extra.
3 marks extra?
Extra. So I came to show you that you would recalculate again and give me what I deserve." The professor looked at another professor, "Madam, did you ever see anybody like that coming to you and asking, reduce my marks because I don't deserve here, by mistake I'm given?" The professor also told, "In my 20 years of service, I have never seen anybody coming to me and asking me." And they asked the student, "Where do you come from?" The student told, "I am from Sri Sachasai Higher Secondary School, Prashantaliam." "Everybody knows about Swami, you know that." So the professor told, "That is why you are like this."
And in fact, they asked the student whether other students in your school are like this, and the student said, "This is common in our school." And all teachers will agree that in our career we would have had so many times
so
when students come to us and tell that we have got more marks, and then we have to correct them. So this is something again which Swami has
honesty. We mentioned about money and marks and yes.
Just one point, I thought, because we are talking about Gurukula system,
yes,
we will be missing something very important. When we talk of Gurukula, what makes a Gurukula really effective is that the students stay away from distractions.
Yes.
And Swami has made his schools and institutions such that we have cut all such distractions from students. So even in our school and hostel, in our daily schedule, there is very little time for other things. The usual distractions of the world, whether you talk of films, TV, whether it is use of misuse of money, in every aspect we have some kind of a control. Swami has
made the main problem with youngsters, as they say, some of the main issues that youngsters are dealing with is this internet addiction, games addiction.
Absolutely. So in our system, addiction, there is a perfect control over these things. That means we do not believe that we should give free hands to students on some of these things when their minds are still in the formative years. So we don't, for example, encourage them to keep phones. They are not supposed to keep their own cell phones, even in the hostel. There are many schools where they don't permit it in the schools, but even in the hostel.
But has it been really difficult implementing this? You might have parents who will say, "This is not right, we want to talk to our child every day," or the child might say, "I want to talk to my father every day."
In fact, these are some things where we permit students to talk only once a week class-wise to the parents, and it may be difficult in the beginning, but over a period of time, the students get adjusted to this routine, and when they find the variety of other things, Swami says, no, you fill them with positive things so that they will forget the negative. So when they get into the system, over a period of time, all these things become natural. Initially, yes, there are people who find it difficult. There are parents who come and ask, can we give a cell phone? Can we keep it? Will it be difficult? But then they realize that, see, students are living without cell phones. And that, this specially cutting off the communication from, I'll say, the outside world is very helpful in a Gurukula system where you are free from distractions. When you have to talk only once in a week, then naturally, it is very natural that they will talk to their parents first. So automatically other distractions will fall apart.
Slowly your other friends,
yes,
all
those,
that will reduce.
Yes. And sir, wanted to say something?
In fact, what we are trying to do in our system is we provide everything with restriction.
Yes.
For example, boys outside can have cool drinks every day. We provide them once in a week. Boys can have different kinds of eatables every day. We provide once in a week. Boys may watch movies outside every day. We show them once in a fortnight. Yes. Everything, we are not denying it,
yes,
but in the same
thing.
Yes.
We are providing everything with a restriction, with complete understanding that if he completely avoid those things, it may happen that the boy, when he moves out,
yes,
he will start doing it much more.
Yes, because that nature, inquisitive nature,
yes,
is there.
It should not be such a dramatic change that it explodes,
yes,
you know,
yes,
into a new life. So he is given a glimpse of what is there outside, but with restrictions, with discrimination.
Yes.
When we talk of showing movies, it is, you know, censored,
yes,
films where there are inspiring,
yes,
things, and then also entertainment,
yes,
which will keep them happy. So a mix of varieties of things, and also especially talking about money, where, because
yes,
we had talked a little bit about money,
yes,
we don't encourage students to handle money, so we have our own system of using some kind of credit cards which are controlled by the teachers in charge, so because of which the students' expenditure is restricted, and that brings in this quality of ceiling on,
okay,
desire, because what they are spending is known to us. They have to issue these credit cards once in a week of a particular amount and then spend it. All the transactions in stores and food stall where we sell some such items are made through these cards, so there is no handling of cash. When we talked of cash, it was for the others, that means for procuring the items and all for the outsiders. But as far as the students are concerned, they learn ceiling on.
But have you really seen that happen? Have you really seen boys, you know, curtailing their sort of wants or desires,
no,
because
absolutely
of this system?
This is
very much, very much. And the boys, they say that when they move out, they are surprised that for whole of their education in their school, what they have spent, now they are forced to spend equal amount of money for 1 year of their education outside.
And it is visible in their accounts. We maintain the accounts for each student, and they themselves can see. And when we tell them that, see, it's good to have ceiling on desires and think of the rest of the country where there are so many people not getting anything, so can't we have a little bit of control? So there are students who take it to heart and then really boil down to the bare minimum necessities,
yes,
which are there, and think about saving,
yes,
and this is also seen in our students.
And that is what the Gurukula system is. You live with the limited means.
Yes.
And the other beautiful thing about the Gurukula system, as we contemplate upon, is how you have students from different backgrounds, in a sense that there could be a prince, or there could be the son of an aristocrat, and the son of a farmer, but they would live in the same ashram and do the same chores. And I think in our system also you have a thing of that nature, where you have students who would come from very affluent families and would have students who would come from perhaps low income families, but they have to sort of use the same facilities and live in the same environment. And did you find instances where, you know, boys trying to cope with this, or how changed them their personality and their outlook?
basically their love for God makes them get adjusted in the circumstances where they are placed. And they are so inspired that even when they move out, they carry this message with them. I remember one student who was studying here by name Shritesh Ramchandran from Hyderabad, from a very rich family. And he was studying here, passed out, and then he wanted to do CA. So he joined the coaching institute there and he was pursuing his CA. His father happens to be a businessman. So he was feeling that I should help my father sometime in the shop. They had a big shoe shop, so he used to go there and help. After some days, he asked his father in a very casual way, he said, "Father, I am spending every day 4 hours in this shop. How much amount of money are you going to pay me?" Father thought for a bit and then he said, "See, the whole store belongs to you. This whole shop is yours only." He said, "No, not that way. I am giving time, you tell me how much you are going to pay." He said, "See, you are like any worker here. I am paying a worker for whole day service 8,000 to 10,000 rupees. So I will be giving you 3,000 to 4,000 rupees for the amount of time which you are devoting." He was very happy. And at the end of it, and he says, "Don't give me money now. Whenever I am going to Parthi, give me that money. I will like this money to be used for the education of a student who is not able to afford his education."
In fact, talking of this rich and poor, one of the important things is also that within our system, the teachers, we do not discriminate between rich and poor. So when the students find that there is nothing special that is being given to a rich person, which is being denied to the poor, there is no special benefit that you will get in the yes. system for being rich. And then we are always talking of equality, so this also creeps in. No, we learnt it from Bhagwan,
yes.
and then we talk of the same thing, and then we show it in our day-to-day life. Then that gets into the students, and very often students are not even aware who is rich. And
yes,
I think nobody talks about
it. It might even happen that boys would have studied in the school yes. for 5 years and wouldn't have known what the classmate's father yes. background is.
Absolutely. So this kind of non-discrimination against rich and poor is inbuilt into the system, and that helps everybody.
And perhaps there are instances also where boys who come from very low income groups, you sometimes go out of the way to help them. Satish Babu said, are there instances of that nature?
Yes. What we would see at the student in the hostel is never a rich student or a poor student, never a Hindu student or a Muslim student. We only look at them, a good student and a student becoming good. If you need something more to become better, we would give them all the possible occasions and chances for him to become better, so that he would please Swami. And as you mentioned, there are several occasions where boys would not even know to which caste they belong to, because they never talked about it in an entire stay of 10 to 12 years. It so happened that one of the students asked me, "Sir, I have to fill up an application form for a professional course after finishing my 12th class, but I don't know to which caste I belong to."
No one asked
me. No one ever asked him.
And there you
never needed.
Yeah,
this is what Swami says. So he rang up to his father, "Father, what should I fill up here?" See, that kind of life they're exposed to in our hostel, where we'll never look at them rich, poor, or any of such kind of things. As you asked me, there are several occasions where we come to know that the boy's background financially may not be sound. Swami would do the rest. We would call such students and we would ask them, any problems are there financially? And the moment we come to know, immediately the help comes to him by different sources that Swami arranges. One or two instances I recollect and tell you. When I came to know that one student's father had lost his job for some reason and he was feeling a little bit difficult for the payment of the fees,
hostel fees.
Hostel fee. I mean, the fees minimal fees for fees.
Yeah, school is free. The hostel
minimal fees
free.
For his food. That's all. So I called up to his father and asked him, "What is the problem that you are facing, sir? So if you don't mind, all the fees that your son requires for his personal expenditure and for purchasing of books, for the food, etc., everything is for me, will take care, sir. You just be relaxed and take care of the family there. We would do all the needful for him. We are very happy that your child is very disciplined. He works hard to improve his studies. That's more than enough for us. Because if he goes to the society tomorrow with good qualities, he would be of some use to others. So we had taken care of all his expenditures that are required for his stay in the hostel, for the mess fees, etc. Thereafter, he finished his and he became a manager in one of the banks. With his father, he came. And he told me, "Sir, I've got so many promotions in my job that even 10 years senior to me would not have got with that age. The reason why I am elevated to such high position is my virtues, my commitment, my dedication. These are all the things we were taught in our hostel by Swami. And my humble request is that so much money you had paid for me and now I've got so much money. Please accept this back. Take this money. Now I can afford to do."
He realized that you had paid for his education.
Yes.
He wanted to give it to
you. And I told him, "I didn't pay for you. I was just merely an instrument. Swami had paid for you. I didn't pay for you. So if you want to pay gratitude to Swami, you are in the society. In the society, so many people require help. You help them in turn. What Swami had helped you through different people here, you help different people in the society. Through you, Swami is doing the help to them." So the boy was very happy. We didn't accept because we will never work for money. But Swami never taught us to work for money in our institution. Work for God, work for love. So the boy had gone out and helped in turn to so many people in the society. That's what Swami teaches to children in this institution. We'll live for each other, never looking at the financial background, caste, creed, etc. Work for God, work for love.
Wonderful. I think that is the most gratifying thing for any teacher is, I think, when you, the students come back and then they tell you that, you know, as you are mentioning about this student, he said all that the virtues that is helping him so much is because of what he has learnt. And then when he goes out in turn and tries to make others' lives better, I think that is one of the most fulfilling moments for every teacher. And I think there are also instances where boys actually become change agents, right? They are not only better, in fact, they sort of bring about some change in their family too.
Not just family, even in the society there are people.
They contribute remarkably wherever they are. What they pick up from here, they are able to practice it. Initially when they join a particular organization or an institution for the sake of job, people don't believe them. But as the time passes, they find that these people are very different. Very different in the sense that they are ever ready to help. And they are selfless. And they don't mind helping anybody around. That makes a lot of good impression about our students in the society. And whenever there is need, they always look upon these people for guidance. They are inspired by these boys, and these boys in turn are able to make a wonderful effect in the place where they are living and where they are working.
And I think the most gratifying thing as we are discussing is when they come back or when they write letters to you. As you were mentioning that, you know, some boy who was in the hostel, in some other hostel, he wrote to you, Sadish Babu sir.
Yes. I received many times phone calls or letters. By different means, boys will talk about our institution. Several occasions, boys rang up to me and told me, "Sir, at present I'm not doing well, not keeping well. My health is not good. I show my concern over the phone because I cannot be physically present next to him. And what made you ring up now when you are not keeping well? Sir, this is the time I am realizing the value of our hostel, how great it was. When I was sick, somebody would come to me and bring me breakfast. Somebody else would come and wash my plate. Somebody would come and ask me what I would want for lunch. Somebody would take me to hospital. Everything was taken for granted that I felt it was the order of the day. But when I stay outside, I'm sick here for 2 days and not even one person comes to me and asks me, how are you? What a great difference that our hostel was and outside place is. But since I know the value of serving others, if I get a chance, I would definitely help. I'll tell you another instant how boys learn to help each other and help others outside and treat everybody equally. This is the incident of a bank manager, and he is doing very well in a bank. And normally, when the subordinates do well, there are some occasions where the manager or the boss would invite them, host them a dinner, host them a party, giving them gifts, etc. But normally, this happens for the people who are of higher cadres, and they are called and encouraged, but nobody talks about the lower cadre people who are sweeping, who are cleaning, who are guarding the bank, etc. It never happened. This boy, our student, when he became the manager there, he encouraged all the people of different cadres, but he called all the people, whatever you may call lower rank, he called all of them and took them to a hotel.
The security guards, people
who carry the files, etc. Called them all to the hotel, gave them lunch, talked to them nicely, encouraged them, and expressed his gratitude by telling how important job they are doing, how great job they are doing. And many of them broke down and told, we worked for a decade or two in this place. We always had seen the top people going for different occasions, for this kind of things. But we were never told that we were never told that we are also important. And you are the first person to tell that we too are important and we too are part of this institution. We are so thankful to you, and they were in tears of gratitude. And the boy told me, sir, I could do that because I learnt in this place where all the kitchen workers and the people who clean the bathrooms, toilet, all the people are called in front of all the students, and they were praised and they were given tokens of love and gratitude.
A regular activity.
They were praised and they were told, see, because of this person you are taking lunch, because of this person you are taking chapati, because of this person you are having a clean bathroom and toilet. We were shown the way to express our gratitude to all people from top to down people. So that's what I did, and that other people never saw in their life. What Swami teaches here comes to our help anywhere in the life outside, sir, they told me.
Wonderful.
That is how Bhagavan's mission is being fulfilled.
Yes.
Our life also is being fulfilled.
Yes, yes, absolutely. As you mentioned, your life also being fulfilled in the sense that, I mean, there are two aspects to it. One reason why boys imbibe so much in the hostel is just like in the Gurukula Parampara. It is because they are not only told what has to be done, but they see in the lives of the people who are living with them, who are following that. And I think, as they say, kids don't remember what you teach them, or they don't do what you ask them to do. They remember what you are. And because they see what they are asked to be, they become those individuals.
Transformation in society and affecting others. I remember there was an occasion when a student, after finishing his engineering, was able to gather and get almost around 70 to 75 engineers from his college. He was not the senior most, he was still studying, but he inspired them and brought the entire group to Prashanti Nilayam.
Wow.
And especially brought them to our school and then told that our teacher should interact with these students and tell them some nice things. So that is, they are able to recollect what has transformed them in different ways.
Yes. And there is that eagerness that others
should benefit. Others should also benefit. And that's not easy for a student to do.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that is the sort of power of their personality. Yes. You have saved that power of their personality.
Absolutely.
Because as Swami says, knowledge is not power, character is power. And I think in our students, perhaps they begin to experience that, all the character development that happens here. When they go outside, you realize that this is more powerful than all the technical ability or the intellectual ability. And I think when you have both, and that is the magical combination that this system that Swami has laid down seeks to achieve. And my last question, I mean, in a Gurukula Parampara, you will generally really have that when the boys leave the institution, you will have the boys offering or the students offering something to the guru in the form of Guru Dakshina. And actually here we don't even have that. My question is, do you anytime feel that, you know, I have spent 5 years, I have spent trying to mold the personality of the student, and there could be occasions where boys would come and they would thank you, but there could also be occasions when, you know, the boy, 31st March, and the boy would have just probably, you know, just walked out, and you probably would have felt a bit of a pain. Maybe he didn't do it consciously, but, you know, I spent 5 years trying to help this boy become a better person, but he didn't even do this, or he didn't even think of offering something to me or giving something to me.
We don't expect anything to be offered, but the sentiment which you have expressed is very common.
Yes.
And I personally feel that they don't do that kind of thing wantingly.
Yeah, it's not.
They just feel that we are all family members, and we are not going away.
Mm-hmm.
So when they move out, we also don't feel that we are going to miss them. Because we have done all the work for the love of Swami, absolutely there is no kind of any expectation from them.
You know, Swami has taught all of us. No? We have seen how Swami has selflessly given of himself.
Yes.
And expecting nothing in return. So this quality of, you know, gratitude, time and again Swami has told that, I don't want anything from you. The only gratitude that you can offer is love, you know, become good,
yes,
get a good name for yourself, and that is also for you. You know, he doesn't expect anything. So this is something which we have experienced from Swami. So the least that we can do is to, you know, not expect. Even though as humans, one may get such thoughts as you are telling, but having that ideal of Swami in front, these kind of things will not come.
I mean, you don't believe Swami has done so much that you feel this is nothing.
Yes, but there are times we, as sir says, the opposite sentiments are also seen often. There have been cases where, you know, a father comes to take away the son on the last day, and the son is crying.
Mm-hmm.
And when the father comes and says, you know, hats off to your, you know, school, I have never seen, it's the summer vacation after staying one full year, now he should be so happy and he should be going, and the boy says, I don't want to go. So, I mean, that kind of feelings can also develop. At the same time, because the environment has that spiritual ambience, automatically everybody knows that, you know, we are not getting attached, and we are doing it as an offering to Bhagwan.
Yes.
So as much as everybody can do that, we are not really expecting anything from the
students. So you don't expect anything, so there is not so much of disappointment.
Yes. But at the same time, students do respond. You know?
Yes.
There are all varieties of, say, responses and reactions. There are places where they want to give things, they want to express, but there's no question of, you know, taking. Like, just now Satish Babu sir told such a nice incident.
But how are your feelings generally, Satish Babu sir, on the final day when the boys are leaving? I mean, you have spent, like a mother and father, you would have cared for them for so many days and months.
We feel very happy that day because Anand another batch of students have got training by God. They got the training to go out and help the society. Till the last moment they are trained. I would tell you one small incident when you asked me, I remembered. That boy had finished his studies. He packed all his luggage. His parents had come. The bus was parked outside the hostel. It was about to start. He picked up all his luggage and went into the bus. Any moment the bus would leave. In that hurry, he left his shoes in the hostel. The warden of the hostel, who is of around 70 years age, he was picking up the shoes. He was running behind the boy. He entered into the bus and gave the shoes and told, you forgot your shoes. See, the learning happens till the last moment. And we are sure whether he is able to express what he had learned in his action immediately outside in his life or not. But the seeds are sown in his heart by Bhagavan. Definitely the day will come, he will shower his grace and he will make them sprout and come out, and he will make him as his instrument in the society to make a better society. Amazing. We only hope that when they go outside, when you go outside, please help others. Please make your neighbors happy by your presence. That's the only gratitude you can offer to Swami. If you are good and if you are helpful, if others are happy by your presence, they'll know we are happy because of his nature. His nature is like that because he is Swami's student. And that is your gratitude, Guru Dakshina, to our institution. That's what we expect from them. And they are good and they are doing good in the society.
Wonderful. And I think that is the most fulfilling moment for every teacher. When the people with whom the student interacts or the society in which the student is, when they come back and say that he has really made a positive difference. Your final words, Sarvam, sir.
I've been a teacher here for the last 35 years and I have found fulfillment in life. Bhagavan gave me a mission of training my own way a generation of students who will fulfill his mission. Bhagavan declared long time ago, I am inaugurating the golden age. My students and my teachers are the essential participants, and they will usher in the golden age. We are most grateful to Bhagavan that he has given us a chance to participate in this golden mission.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you very much. I am just reminded of what the former principal of our school, Professor Habbu, used to describe as the mission of the school. He used to say, our endeavor is to create balanced and dynamic personalities who are physically strong, intellectually sharp, emotionally stable, and at the same time spiritually advanced. And I think in some ways all these things get inculcated in the students, and as Raman sir said, that is one step. After every batch passes out of the school, it is one more step in ushering in the golden age. And that's a moment for everyone involved in Bhagavan's mission to really thank him for giving us that opportunity to be part of it. Thank you very much, sir, for taking your time. It has been a long discussion. Thank you so much for being coming to the studios and sharing your reflections. Thank you so much.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai.
So that was the panel discussion with Mr. Ramon Rao, Mr. Venkatesh Lu, Dr. Sailesh Srivastava and Mr. Satish Babu of the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Prashant Nilayam. And as was so evident, the difference that this ambience has made in the minds of these students, as you heard, isn't it really out of the world? At least in these times, to hear such experiences is really rare. one is filled with so much hope and so much positivity when we hear the tales of such students. And imagine, thanks to this school's existence, for over 3 decades now, hundreds of such students have stepped out of this school now into the wide world, and they are silently but surely making a difference in the lives of so many. Different students do it. Students do it in different ways, but it is happening. And we have so many proofs of this. We almost come across this on a daily basis. Way back in 1971, Guru Purnima, when Bhagwan inaugurated the new building of the Anandpur campus, he had declared, "The seed has been planted. It will sprout and spread heavy with fruits, providing shade, security and sustenance to all." These are Bhagwan's words, and we are seeing this happening in bits and parts in so many corners of India and the world today. And as days go by, we will only see how all these little lamps will perhaps one day join and become so huge a conflagration, so huge a source of light, a source of warmth and comfort, that thousands and millions will find peace and hope, happiness and joy in their lives, something which they have been seriously missing and hoping to happen. The golden age, as Ramon Rao said, will dawn, or rather, perhaps it is already there. All we have to do is change our vision, our perception, and then we can actually enjoy the golden age even now. So with these words and with these thoughts for us to reflect on, it's time to wind up this last segment of Thursday Live Broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai. Thank you, dear listeners, for being with us all through the day. It's time to draw the curtains. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. And even as a sign off, I thank you for your patient listening and offer this program and our entire day's live programs at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet with love and gratitude. Once I sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama presented by the students of the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School. Yes, the same students. The drama is Journey to Sai, and which was staged in front of Bhagwan on 2nd March 2009. And dear listeners, to be honest with you, I am not the one who schedules these programs. It is done by another colleague of mine, and he has no clue actually of the program that I am doing for the live show. So this is the way Swami works. I have no clue. It is actually a pleasant surprise for me that the play that you are going to hear now is actually on high secondary school, and all this 1 hour we have been talking about it. So that is how the dots connect. That is how Bhagwan works to all of us. In every little thing, we actually see his miracle if we are open to it, if we are alive to it. Thank you so much for being with us, and do enjoy, keep listening. And before you go, let me just remind you that on July 14th, that is the coming Sunday, on our Telugu stream from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m, we are going to have live programs from the studios. Yes, you have to go to radiosai.org and click on Telugu stream, our programs in Telugu. We are going to have live programs to commemorate the second anniversary of launching this Telugu stream, which happened on Guru Purnima Day 2 years ago. So for all those people who learn, who understand and enjoy Telugu, you will love it if you click on Telugu stream on July 14th. And for others, as always, there is plenty on Bhajan stream, Disco stream and on this same Asia stream. Thank you so much for being with us. And finally, a sweet goodbye and loving Sairam from Prashant Nilayam.